the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, May 1st. I'm Abby Larico. Since 1952, Schwann's has gone door-to-door delivering frozen food. Its yellow trucks, ice cream treats, and customer service won the company a dedicated customer base. But recently, Schwann's changed its name and stopped deliveries in most states.
It's really kind of ironic because they were kind of like the first grocery delivery. And now everybody else has kind of caught up to them.
We'll explore the company's place in the food industry and recent changes coming up on The Gateway. Board of Aldermen President Megan Green and Alderwoman Alicia Sonnier say police should stand down at tonight's pro-Palestinian protest at St. Louis University. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports the Alderwoman want the protest to look similar to Occupy SLU about 10 years ago.
According to the university's website, Occupy SLU was a peaceful occupation by activists that lasted 6 days in 2014 following Michael Brown's killing. It resulted in a 13-point agreement between campus leadership and the activists to strengthen diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. Sonnier says police were not involved. She'd like the same to be true at the next pro-Palestinian protest.
St. Louis University modeled what it looked like to create an environment of dialogue, what it looked like to listen to its students and faculty, and to take a proactive approach and an open ear.
SLU's protest follows one at Washington University over the weekend, where police arrested more than 100 activists for trespassing. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Legal experts are weighing in on whether or not protesters on Washington University's campus over the weekend had the right to be there. Pro-Palestinian protesters set up an encampment calling for the university to divest from Boeing for selling weapons to Israel. More than 100 protesters were arrested, including 4 faculty members and 23 students, after WashU officials say they were trespassing. Sarah Swadesh, a labor and employment attorney, says the private university had every right to remove people from its campus.
The students, the faculty, the citizens, the rebel-rousers did not leave. If somebody walks onto my property and I tell them to leave and they don't and they just sit down, I'm going to call the police.
Javad Khazali is an attorney and former federal prosecutor. He agrees that the private university had the right to ask protesters to leave. However, he says what unfolded after was uncalled for, namely aggressive behavior from law enforcement and the university punishing faculty and students who participated without due process.
When you put in these nuclear penalties, kicking people out of their dorms, giving them 15 minutes to leave, not knowing where they're going to end up, telling them they can't come back for their finals.
The St. Louis County Prosecuting Attorney's Office has yet to file charges. Swadesh and Khazali were guests on St. Louis on the Air. 1 year since a nonprofit formed to run the 39 North Ag Tech Innovation District, the organization has made strides to solidify St. Louis's reputation as a leader in agriculture. St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmid reports the group will open a physical headquarters in June.
It's one of the first things 39 North Executive Director Emily Lozebush was aware of last April.
There wasn't a physical front door or meeting place in this district that plant scientists and company founders and people from all walks of life in the ag tech world could come together.
Lozebush says they're moving into about 10,000 square feet of unused space next to Benson Hill's headquarters on North Warson Road. She says the physical space can be a co-working location and host public events or meetings between companies and investors or scientists. Lozebush says it's vital because any ag tech innovation has to be able to fit into the broader agricultural industry. I'm Eric Schmid, St. Louis Public Radio.
Environmental advocacy groups lobbied Illinois lawmakers yesterday at the first ever Conservation Day at the State House. Organizations like the Illinois Environmental Council are watching several pieces of legislation. One bill would create the Prairie Lawns Program to protect pollinator habitats. Among other things, the measure would require the Illinois Department of Natural Resources to assist people with planting pollinator-friendly native plants in their yards. Democratic Senator Laura Fine is a bill sponsor.
It's very important that we do everything we can to protect our environment. And pollinators are an integral part of our ecosystem. And so we need to be responsible and make sure that these pollinators can thrive.
The bill passed the Illinois House and is now in the Senate. The Schwan's Company has been delivering frozen food to households since 1952. The company's yellow trucks and friendly delivery people are especially beloved by their customers in the Midwest. But Schwan's Home Delivery has since changed its name to Yellow and cut staff and delivery centers. Harvest Public Media's Elizabeth Rempert explores the company's legacy and future.
Since 1965, Mary Bartles has been looking forward to her Schwan's deliveries. She remembers her 9 kids excited to see the delivery man drive his yellow truck down the driveway.
They would get on the truck and climb all over it, and they'd all come in with an ice cream bar or something. And now I realize he was giving those to those kids out of his pocket, because I wasn't paying for them.
One of those kids actually happens to be my stepdad, which is how I know that nearly 60 years later, Mary is still ordering ice cream, frozen food, and meals from Schwan's. And on this Thursday morning in Vermilion, South Dakota, it's time for another delivery.
That's the manager. Come in!
Nate O'Grady takes a seat at Mary's kitchen table. He's her delivery man now and says he has his own memories of Schwan's. As a child, he remembers the yellow trucks coming to his grandparents' house. And now he says he loves getting to know the customers along his route.
You know exactly what they want when you come to the door. You know exactly what they're going to order. Mary's going to get her peanut butter cups, I know that.
Mary says it's the great service that's kept her buying from Schwan's for nearly 60 years. She doesn't even have to get out of her chair as O'Grady checks her freezer for what she needs, grabs the order from his truck, and packs it onto the freezer shelves. Back in 2022, Schwan's changed its name to Yellow, spelled Y-E-L-L-O-H. Some customers, including Mary, didn't take much notice.
When did they do that?
The new name is inspired by the unmistakable trucks, according to Bernardo Santana, the company's CEO.
That's one of the reasons we kept the name as Yellow, because of the famous and recognizable yellow truck, to bring back and to keep this connection with our customers.
The makeover comes as Yellow contends with a much more competitive market. Danny Edsel, a co-leader for Deloitte's global grocery practice, says the food space has transformed since the company started in 1952.
You know, over the last 40, 50 years, we've gone through like several waves of evolution.
Local family-owned grocery stores gave way to big box stores like Walmart, Target, and Costco. And now it seems every company, dollar stores, gas stations, delivery apps on your phone, are fighting for your grocery dollars.
We're right in the heat of that battle. I think it's yet to be decided who wins.
Edsel says the companies who put their customers at the heart of their operations will probably come out on top. But Akshay Rao, a marketing professor at the University of Minnesota, is concerned Yellow's new strategy may confuse its devoted customers.
And so Schwan's had a monopoly that it has now said, to the best of my understanding, it has said goodbye to.
About a year and a half after announcing its new name, Yellow made another announcement. It cut 750 employees and closed 90 delivery centers. Its yellow trucks used to make deliveries in all 48 lower states. Now it serves 18. Customers elsewhere can get orders via UPS. Rao suspects Yellow's new brand and the cuts are part of an overall strategy to modernize its delivery service.
The whole rebranding, cost-cutting through the reduction in their workforce and so forth is part of a strategic shift, which is emphasizing costs rather than customers.
Yellow CEO Santana says customers are still the priority, even as they become more efficient. Plus, he says, some customers prefer a quick drop-off rather than small talk with a driver. But for Deb Kuamoto, whose Lincoln, Nebraska address means she won't receive deliveries anymore, it's a loss. Ordering from Schwan's and seeing the yellow trucks felt like stepping back into her childhood.
It's really kind of ironic because here, Schwan's, they were kind of like the first grocery delivery. And now everybody else has kind of caught up to him. I think it's the end of an era because I do miss the drivers. I really do.
She says she'll go to the grocery store instead of ordering via UPS, even if the store's ice cream isn't as good as Yellow's. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Elizabeth Rembert.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including St. Louis Public Radio. And ending on a sweet note today from Floyd Candy Johnson. The jazz musician was born on this day in 1922 near East St. Louis. He went on to play the drums, then the saxophone, leading the Peppermint Sticks and playing with the likes of Count Basie and Duke Ellington. Johnson earned the nickname as he was known for preferring sweets over alcohol. This is Candy's Mood by Candy Johnson and Milt Buckner Trio. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway. Have a great day.